6:01, time to get your little Christmas booty down to RC Country Hobbies. It's not just toys for little boys, little girls, the whole family. Get on down there, make it happen. Let's do a quick check-in in Houston with our dear friend.
Dateline Houston.
Katie Christensen, who I'm guessing is very tired this morning.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Super. Now, every time, now, those of you who don't know, I always have Katie on FaceTime, right? And when Katie calls me, we have this little ritual where we'll make faces at each other. And I was just making faces at her.
Oh, I wasn't looking at you.
Not even paying attention.
I wasn't looking at you.
Not even an acknowledgement when I picked the phone up and saw her. She, the first thing will be like a smile or a thumbs up or... Someone will stick their tongue out. Katie,
sorry, I was distracted.
Yeah.
What were you doing with your tongue, Katie?
Yeah.
Well, I was letting it stay in its compartment.
Time did you get in yesterday? You got in fairly early, didn't you? I mean, not early, but like you left at noon, didn't you?
Yeah, our flight was at noon yesterday.
About 4 o'clock, something like that.
Well, it's a 2-hour time difference. It's about a 3-hour flight, so you do the math.
Yeah, about 5 o'clock,
know.
Then.
I don't know.
About 5 o'clock.
I can't do that math right now.
Did you have some fun last night?
Went to dinner.
Yeah.
Answer the question.
Yeah.
Yeah,
nice.
I went
what'd
to dinner.
Have? What'd you have for dinner, Katie?
Oh, guys, I went to Morton's.
Oh.
Fancy. Is that the steakhouse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nah, it's a fish and chips place. What time did we go to dinner last night?
Like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
There it is.
I go with my TV crew, my guys,
right.
And they're kind of like late kind of dinner folks.
Sure.
What?
They don't care that you have a show to do early in the morning?
Well, I was back. It wasn't that bad.
No.
I mean, I think I was back by 11. And again, it's
9.
It's 8 o'clock right now. So
yeah, it's not that early out there.
I got more sleep last night than I normally get at home. So,
well, we're dealing with a lot of crap this morning, Katie.
What's going on in the studio, folks?
First off, this one, I don't think the audience can really participate in, but we're talking about characters at the station that would make great sitcom characters, right? And we're like writing character bios out loud for different salespeople, bosses, fellow radio people, because we also have the country station here too.
Yes,
we were thinking of maybe bringing our sister station KSFM in the building for the sitcom, just to make it even more fun,
spice it up a little bit,
right? So we're dealing with that.
Okay.
And then all day, obviously, you can throw everything out the window on this show because Alan Thicke passed away.
It's true.
It's America's dad, Jason Seaver, from Growing Pains, amongst other things. Died at 69 years old.
Nice.
And as a proud Canadian, as much of a proud Canadian as he was, I say this with a lump in my throat and a smile on my face. If you're going to pass away... What better way to pass away? You're playing hockey with your son. Now, obviously, that's going to be traumatic for his son, but you're playing freaking hockey. You're doing something you love. Hopefully, it was very, very quick. I grew up on Alan Thicke, amongst others.
Yeah, he had a heart attack.
Yes.
So that's unfortunate. 69. I couldn't even believe he was 69.
Yeah, 69 years old and looked great and was still going around doing guest spots and being on the radio. He was on, I think, the Dan Lebatard show earlier this week or last week. He was a recurring character there. He still looked great. He's in shape.
He was on the pilot of This Is Us, and he's on Fuller House on Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was just tweeting about Fuller House. He tweeted out just a few hours before he passed away. He goes, I even like the episodes I'm not on. He was on there with Bob Saget. So it sucks. And obviously, you deal with your own mortality when stuff like that happens because you grew up watching Alan Thicke, who was on and is best known for Growing Pains, but also wrote the themes to both Facts of Life and Different Strokes and sang the theme to Three's Company, wrote the original Wheel of Fortune theme. So, yeah, he was a multi-talented individual.
Yeah, I did not know that.
So, based on that, we were talking about – starting in 19. So this is stuff we deal with off the air, Katie. when you're
the
not
important
here.
Stuff.
Yeah. from 1970 forward, let's say, taking sitcoms and dramas into the equation, what would be the all-time powerhouse show when you're looking at actors that went on to do amazing things in movies, etc.? And for example, Denzel Washington was on St. Elsewhere. George Clooney was on Facts of Life for a minute and ER. You had Bosom Buddies with Tom Hanks, but those are just individuals. Whereas, like, Taxi had Danny DeVito and a whole cast.
Ooh, Taxi's a good call.
Taxi might be the one. I'm not sure. But just if you're going through, if I was on my old night show, we would spend 2 hours on this right now and make a bracket out of it. But those are the types of brain busters we're dealing with, Katie. It's a lot of stuff going on.
My goodness. Yeah, I can't really help you with any of that because I wasn't much
right?
of a TV watcher.
It would have been Danny DeVito. Wasn't Tony Danza
Danny
on
DeVito
there?
Was
Tony
on
Danza
for,
was on there.
Christopher Lloyd was on there too, right? And what was the name of the other guy?
I'm missing, and we're missing like Mary Lou Henner, Andy Kaufman, Judd Hirsch. You say Christopher Lloyd. I have it in front of me now. I'm cheating. That's a lot. The show Soap was on there, but that was like that was like Billy Crystal and Mona from Who's the Boss,
and,
you know, so you
or from Disney.
Yeah, that's Mona, Matt George. Yeah, there's
Moana.
I deal with a lot. Somebody told me Jennifer Lawrence was on like the Jeff Foxworthy show or something crazy. So there's that stuff. It's like when I found out Courtney Cox was in the I think it's the Dancing in the Dark video for Bruce Springsteen. That's how she got a break. I didn't realize that one. I mean, yeah, a lot of stuff going on, guys.
How about Alicia Silverstone being in Aerosmith videos?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And what the hell has happened to Alicia Silverstone?
I don't know. I saw something about her the other day, and now I can't remember what it was. So she's doing important things.
Alicia Silverstone's gone. Who's the chick who won the Oscar for Million Dollar Baby? Hillary Swank.
Hillary Swank.
Where the hell is she?
She died at the end of that.
No, but I don't know where she is.
Nate.
What?
It's true. Katie, she did die at the end of that. Who else? Who else is that? Hillary Swank is missing. Alicia Silverstone is Bridget Fonda.
Oh, disappeared.
Was everywhere once upon a time. And then she's gone. She was like the grunge actress. And then I don't know what the hell she's doing. Charles Grodin? Really? Charles Grodin? Johnny Carson's best guest. Gone. All these people I feel like are on an island somewhere. Meanwhile, we're back here dealing with stuff like the Oakland Raiders. And it seems very, very familiar as the City Council and County Board of Supervisors.
Major Johnson was there.
They both, yes, our Twitter account said Major Johnson was down there supporting in his first day as not the mayor, as Daryl Steinberg was sworn in last night at the old City Council. So good luck. Good luck, Daryl Steinberg. We'll have to have him visit the program here. Daryl, not as he's not the personality that Mayor Johnson is. He's a little more nerdier is not the right word, because I like Daryl's he's a really good guy, and he was also very active in the whole King situation. So I'll forever be, you know, we're all indebted to him for that. But he's
a little bit more
square,
professional.
No. Well, he's more business. I square, kind of like, you know, he's like your.
He's super nice. He's super nice.
I'm not saying anything bad about
he's
him.
He's fantastic.
He really is. He's an amazing guy. He's a blast. He's just, I think I'm going to stick with square. Just a little more square, a little more, you know, kind
your
of.
Your face is square.
No, it's Whoa. Not. It's actually an oval. It's a big long oval. So this Raider thing is starting to sound very familiar.
Uh-oh.
In a sense, very familiar in the sense if you're a Kings fan, where you are there. I don't think we'll get into this much later. I don't think it is the same. I think there are some major differences here. But, hey, I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him to stay here, stay in Oakland. I think that would be fantastic. From the 916, we got a lot of people weighing in on all this stuff. But then there's that one guy. Great sports segment. Every day from 6 to 6:12. Honestly, literally more sports in this segment than normal because we just talked about the Raiders.
And
so
shut your mouth.
Yeah.
And
we talked about
Hester
Alan
highlight reels.
Thank you.
Yeah. We also talked about Alan Thicke playing hockey. So
thank
there's
you.
That.
Exactly. And not in a, you know, not a good way, but We got to play that theme. That's also one of the greatest. That's also a good set, good old night show segment. Greatest TV show themes. And the growing.
Oh, it's Magnum PI and everything else is in second
place.
Wow,
look at you.
I think it's the Golden Girls.
Oh, I know
whatever.
You do. That I knew. That I absolutely knew.
And you know, there's a Golden Girls marathon like every Sunday on like two channels.
Is there really?
Oh,
yeah.
Dear, you just.
No,
ruined...
You know what? It doesn't matter because I own
football.
All the DVDs.
Yeah, but you and I mean, I would think you know this. I do that. There is a difference between owning something on DVD
and marathons,
and then it's on when it's on. I'll watch stuff on TV all the time that I own.
Right.
Just because.
Well, I do
you,
the
like,
same thing.
If you
thing.
Pop in the DVD, you've got to commit.
You're
to
committed.
It.
You can't flip.
Yeah.
You can't flip channels.
And well,
Estelle Getty was low key the hottest one on that show.
Oh, dear God. Wasn't she the youngest of them, though?
She was.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah, she had a wig and all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
I Rose was the one that did it for me. I mean,
come on, Rose did it for everybody. All right, we can own that.
Blanche was the hoe of the show. We knew that, and that's fine. But Rose, where'd she go, Katie? St. Olaf's?
St. Olaf.
Yeah, whatever. And
that's where she's from, in Minnesota.
Yeah, she was, you know, she was, and she's still going.
Betty, she is. Betty White, still going.
Still
now,
going strong.
The day that happens, I'm sorry. I'm
you're
not going to be able
work?
To come to work.
Well, she's the last one, right?
That's right.
What was
no
this?
No B. Arthur for you, though?
No,
don't
no
get
B.
the
Arthur.
Job done.
I could do without Maud. I'm cool with that. You know, she had a deeper voice than I did. Who, what was the spinoff? Empty Nest, right?
Mm-hmm. No, Golden Palace.
There's also Empty Nest.
Empty Nest is also a spinoff.
Morning Brew is next. We got the Kings. We got Jim Harbaugh. We got a scandal in college football radio. We'll tell you all about that next. Right there on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. That's tonight. Kings and Rockettes going down in Texas. Katie Christensen is in Texas ahead of that battle. The Rockets, 7 in a row, 9 of 10. They're 18-7 in a tie with the Clippers for the 3 spot in the Western Conference. And the Sacramento Kings have won 4 of their last 10, inching closer to 500 over their last, 10 contests. So are they going to lose tonight? Probably. Almost assuredly they'll lose. But will be interesting to see with no Ben McLemore and no Rudy Gay, we're assuming. I'm pretty sure that's accurate. It'll be interesting to see the adjustments and how they look, Katie.
Yeah, Ben has that left quad contusion. Rudy has that right hip flexor strain, both listed as day-to-day at this point. I would assume that they would both be out tonight as well, but we haven't gotten confirmation on that yet. But we'll see, because it kind of, as we saw in the second half of that game without Rudy as well, it is a different team without him. Now, sometimes, it's a tough game to win on the road, but sometimes you can really go in there and catch a team off guard, and let's hope the Kings can do that tonight.
Well, I just want to try to spend the next couple hours ignoring the fact that Ben McLemore hurt his thigh in the way he did, because every time I think about it, it makes me hurt. I just
it was ouch looking.
I'll bet it's worse today.
That's a bad one. That's a bad one.
Incidentally, the Rockets favored by 9.5, Katie. 9.5.
Incidentally, check out my Twitter account for what they gave me in my media packet.
Didn't
here
you just
at my
tell
hotel.
Us?
Oh, they gave you sour gummy bears?
Yes, but they're James Harden weird beards.
Oh, please bring those back. Don't eat them.
Yes,
will you bring
I'm
them
eating
back?
Them.
Really?
They're for me.
God, come on.
Well, this is a little bit disturbing, you guys, in the sense that former Wake Forest coach, who he even played at Wake Forest, 93 through 97, but he's held multiple positions for 11 seasons with the football team at Wake Forest, currently on the radio side, fired and banned from the athletics facilities and the university because they began an investigation. Discovered some, you guys, this is a little disturbing. They began an investigation when an equipment manager found some, a scouting report after a Louisville practice, or right before they played Louisville on November 12th. They found out that he had been feeding plays to opposing teams. Yes, Mr. Tommy Elrod, no longer employed.
This is insane. This is an absolutely insane story. You said it. They got beat down by Louisville 44-12, and after that game in the locker room, they found materials that indicated Louisville had access to plays that Wake Forest hadn't run before. Comes back to this guy, Elrod. And does anyone else just see a big flashing neon sign that says, gambling debt, gambling debt?
Yeah.
Hello?
Well, you know what I see? Because basically the current coach, what's his name, Jim Grobe or whatever? Yeah, he did not retain Elrod when he started as the head coach
there.
And that's when he went to the radio side. So it's like one of those things where it's like the guy had been a graduate assistant and then a full-time coach with the football team. And it's his alma mater. And then all of a sudden, new coach comes in and says, sorry, we don't like you. They send him off to radio. And he's like, well, I'm going to get you.
When I'm looking at flashing neon signs, I thought you were going with Bobby Petrino. Who coaches Louisville and is just a fun guy to watch. Louisville would have won this game no matter what. That's what's weird. It's not like a bowl game.
I mean, would they? Because it was kind of close late. That's the remarkable part about it.
You would think they are a better team and a higher ranked team, and they have the Heisman Trophy winner and all that. This is just so weird, though. This is a guy who went to the school, who coached for the school. He bleeds Demon Deacon, and he's giving away play. Like you said, it's got to be a gambling debt. Somebody had his kid hostage. I don't know what it was. And the sad thing is you hear a lot of his friends with Wake Forest, whether it's former players or current staff, saying, I don't understand this. He's a great guy. Like, he's a stand-up
They don't believe it. They don't believe it. There's, like, something's going on here.
It sounds to me like this is a future Lifetime made-for-TV movie. I don't know what the title will be, but, you know, it's like First in Debt and something, you're right, like gambling or something's going on. There's a sad situation.
That's Jim Harbaugh. After surfaced when Albert Breer told Colin Cowherd during a commercial break that Harbaugh to the Rams might be a very real possibility, Jim Harbaugh addressed those rumors, not just to his team, but also at some sort of a dinner where he said, quote, I'm not leaving Michigan, not even considering it. A lot of this talk is coming from our enemies, from coaches. You know the names. You probably know the names of the top three I'm referring to. They like to say that to the media. And he went on to say, we know them as jive turkeys.
I'm so glad you said that, Nate, because I was like, who in the hell says jive turkey?
Jim Harbaugh.
Is he so paranoid? It's coming from our enemies. You know them. The coaches, the media, the jive turkeys.
Well, I do think Jim Harbaugh's paranoid. I do. And I do think he's a drama queen. I do. And I also think Jim Harbaugh is 100% right in this case. It is a fantastic strategy for a couple reasons. First off, the guy who, quote unquote, broke the story, Albert Breer, as you mentioned. His alma mater is Ohio State University, their biggest rival.
Lord.
So that's number one. Number two, think about it. As soon as you're done, in fact, even right now, bowl season going on, your job is recruit for next year. And Jim Harbaugh, his class is only 2 years old. That's the thing, how crazy Michigan's doing. They're about to go into their national championship run. They were a year early. Well, if you're a recruit and you want to go to Michigan and you don't know if Jim Harbaugh is going to be there, that might sway your decision to go to another school. That's a huge deal. So he has to get out in front of this thing immediately to save his recruiting. If I'm Urban Meyer at Ohio State, if I'm over at Michigan State, if I'm one of his Big Ten rivals or Big 12 rival, whatever the hell it is, you're damn right. You're damn right I'm having fun with this because it's going to hurt recruiting. It's free for me, Katie.
Gotta silence those jive turkeys, man.
They're all jive turkeys.
It's gonna hurt your recruiting class.
Big, cold jive turkeys.
Just like the jive turkeys that were running around my yard when I left for the plane yesterday. All four of them. I bet they were there making some noise.
Ohio State.
Saying
jive
I'm leaving
turkeys.
Radio.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
So I do think he's paranoid and I do think he's prone for the drama, but I do think he's 100% right here. Then again, Jim Harbaugh's never had a coaching job longer than 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's in his second year now with Michigan. It's not out of the ordinary. I don't know.
He's not going to L.A. He's going to the Packers.
I don't think he's going anywhere this year.
He's not.
But,
he's not.
And we've seen this before. In fact, Nick Saban's famous for it when he was with Miami. If Jim Harbaugh were to leave Michigan at the end of the year, you'd have to put it, I think it would beat Kevin Durant for like the biggest Benedict Arnold move in sports Probably. History because that is his alma mater. That's where he went. That's a huge freaking deal, man.
Yeah, we're just being jive turkeys right now, Dave. We're Kings, just messing.
Kings are going to try to not be jive turkeys tonight. They're going to try to be, you know, regular turkeys against Houston. Got a lot of stuff to talk about Kings-wise today. A little bit in the next segment. Scott Howard Cooper at 7 o'clock. Greg Papa at 8:05. We got a lot to talk about Kings-wise, especially later on at 7:35. Almost like a little quarter season grading session. For them, we have some stats and some info for you on the team. But immediately, they play Houston tonight, trying to inch their way closer to that eighth playoff spot in the West. Yes, I can't say it with a straight face yet. It is The Drive. Don't go away. No flipping. Sports 1140 KHDK. Just because I'm salty, that was Marquise Chris of the Phoenix Suns. He had 14 and 12 last night. Why am I playing that? He's from Sacramento. He was the player the Kings drafted. And then, you know, traded for...
You're salty.
I am salty. I'm a little salty about that. And the last,
traded for what, Dave? Traded for
let's
what?
Let's see. He was traded for basically what amounted to... what was it? They got Malachi Richardson for
Marco
Bellinelli. And then Chris moved them down to the 13, which was Papi Giannis. And then they got Labissiere and Bogdanovich, which may end up being a phenomenal deal. We don't know.
Tell you what, though, Malachi Richardson is in the house or something.
He's
been playing well in the D League, and all of the rookies are with the team right now after the recent injury issues that have occurred in the last couple days.
I don't want to say I'm happy about Rudy and Ben getting hurt because I'm not at all, and there's no if, and, or but to that. If there is a bright side to it, perhaps it's not only to be able to see how the team plays and some guys like Omri Caspi, for example, and Garrett Temple that you think are going to get, you would think are going to get more minutes now, but maybe that moves the rotation up enough where you can see if a guy like Malachi Richardson, I wouldn't expect Papi Giannis to get much run, but Malachi, I think, is doing the best of all the rookies down there. And then if you get Scal even a few minutes, just to get him some experience, maybe that allows some of the rookies to come in. If you get anything out of them this year, it's a bonus. All I was saying, Katie, is that the last time the Kings passed over a Sacramento native and he went on to play for the Phoenix Suns, he ended up having a really good career and being the mayor of the city. So it's not a good track record with guys like that, which is why I'll always watch Marquise Chris out of the corner of my eye just to see, you know, what could have been with him. But we move on. It didn't happen.
Well, what about Ryan Anderson?
Did he play for the Suns?
No.
I said, you know, Sacramento guy that played for the Suns. I was making
a little thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I mean, there's a number of good players that have come out. Ryan Anderson, obviously a local guy that plays for the Houston Rockets, who,
yes.
I don't know, the Sacramento Kings play tonight, Dave.
You do know that, actually.
Get off the former mayor, man.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm talking about Marquise Chris.
Okay.
That's all. He had a good game last night. Rockets are perfect in December. Host the Kings tonight.
They're due.
Yeah, you'd hope so. I don't know. It's tough with games like this, guys.
They're the hottest team in the league right now. They really
they are. They are.
They're
very good.
Yes.
1-9 of 10 and beyond. And the first month, they were trying to figure their lives out. Now they're going full speed. And the Kings won for just the second time in 7 games when they beat the Lakers the other night.
I mean, we know that this is a bad matchup, right? And there's not too many paths to win this game. But, I mean, do you think that it ultimately hurts them or helps them more if they end up playing Houston style, if they end up trying to get into a track meet with this team, or do they got to try to drag them down?
It hurts them. It hurts them 100%.
I mean, and the only reason I ask is not like, hey, is Houston better at that than the Kings? I mean, obviously they are, but what's the path for the Kings, I guess? I mean, do you just try to grind this game out 90s Knicks style and just beat the heck out of them and hope you can drag them down to your level, or... what, man? I mean, what's the path?
there's this. James Harden is playing extremely well, but he's incredibly turnover prone. He's moved over to the point guard spot this year, and that was one of the first things Mike D'Antoni did, and it's worked out really well. James Harden is putting up insane numbers and assist numbers that we haven't seen for years, which is great. However, he is turning the ball over rate. So the Kings can put some pressure on him, make it difficult, hopefully force some turnovers and get out and run, but run on turnovers and that kind of thing. But yeah, Nate, I would say, you know, and make them grind it out and make them play in the half court and have to defend them, because when it comes to it, Anderson, he's not going to defend anybody. Clint Capella can't defend DeMarcus. Like, you really have to try and expose them defensively, because all they want to do is just try and run and outscore you.
That's where it becomes interesting. You look at Houston's roster, and other than James Harden, I say that with a, you know, it's James Harden, I get it, but they're not really that great of a roster. They're a roster that's built to play with James Harden. I think that's why they're having a lot of success. But you're talking Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza. These are serviceable to good players. Same thing with Ryan Anderson. But as Katie said, he's half a player. He's not a defender at all. I expect you're going to see guys like Nene, just big, big guys rolling in, and Nene is always, I don't want to say he's played Cousins well, but big,
he's
beefy.
He's going to make him work.
Yes. Big, giant, he's muscular dudes lad. Like that, they tend to kind of just lean on him like a boxer leaning on another against the ropes and turn it into a phone booth type of situation. I think you're going to see a little bit of that tonight. Obviously, for the Kings to have any chance at winning, DeMarcus has to be absolutely unleashed down low, but they're going to, shocker here, they're going to need somebody else to step up. They're going to need somebody else to have an 18, 20, 22-point game, preferably from the outside. Somebody's going to have to step up tonight and do something. Otherwise, it's going to be a long night. They have to avoid the big runs. They have this issue where they come out bad, and then the other team goes on some crazy run at some point during the game. They have to avoid the 17-2, 18-5 style runs tonight.
Well, especially against this team, too, because, I mean, when you're going against a style like Mike D'Antoni, like, on the one hand, scores can get kind of overblown, right? So, like, a 10-point lead isn't necessarily as bad as it would be against, I don't know, the Spurs or something, or a 10-point deficit, I should say. But on the same time, those runs, like, go through the roof. Like, what could be a 10-2 run against someone else turns into that 18-5, like you said, mm-hmm. before you even know it.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's the great thing about D'Antoni teams is the fact that because they rely so heavily on the three ball, they go cold for 5 minutes and they can shoot themselves out of a game. And that's just one of the things when you play against a running style team, even same kind of thing with, you know, the Pelicans and Steve Kerr, who all run the same type of system as D'Antoni. It kind of stemmed from D'Antoni's system. You have to understand that the run that they're going to put on you, even though they're bigger, because it can be that 18-5, like you said, you still have opportunities to get back in that game.
They play Friday against Memphis, Sunday against Dallas. It's a three-game road trip, but the games are stretched out, which is kind of nice. You get a day in between all three. I'm going to tell you something right now. If the Kings were to win tonight, and they probably won't, but if they were to win tonight, a 3-0 road trip's in play. It really is. A 3-0 road trip is absolutely in play. If you count the Dallas game, and I think they match up really well with Memphis. You were saying it yesterday, Nate. You threw that out there, and you look at Memphis's record, and it's fantastic. Well, look at Toronto's record. Matchups make, you know, styles make fights. Memphis is a team, especially without Mike Conley, that I think the Kings really can match up with. So if they are able to beat Houston somehow, some way tonight, and I think, guys, we all agree, the only way they really do it, James Harden's going to have one of those 9-for-25, you know, 6-of-30 type of gross nights.
You know what, though? Like, honestly, Dave, he can have one of his, you know, 35-and-15 nights, and I think it'll be all right. Really, the only thing you have to do with James Harden, if he goes off, you absolutely cannot let anybody else. You can't let Ryan Anderson.
Ryan Anderson gets off tonight.
Yes.
That's my big problem. They're going to leave him open. They're going to leave him open way too many times, and that might just be like 2 or 3. But
here's the thing. I'm really hoping that that's not the case. Obviously, I don't think Rudy's going to be playing tonight. I think there's going
to
be.
Katie, let me ask you. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you played the game, and this is one of those times where I think we can bring in your professional expertise here. Honestly, here's what I don't get. Ryan Anderson, Nate just said it, leaving him open, and that's something that the Kings have had go on all year long. So let's say there's one, two, three guys that are going to guard Ryan Anderson tonight. Why would Dave Joerger not take them all aside and say, under absolutely no circumstances, unless you are screened out of the play, are you to ever leave Ryan Anderson the entire night? And if you do, you might as well just look over at the bench because you're coming out and you're sitting down. I don't care if it's a two-on-one and Ryan Anderson is at half court and you let the one pass you by for an easy layup. You are to be nowhere outside of 1 foot away from Ryan Anderson. Why isn't it that simple?
It should be on the scouting report, and these guys are professionals, Dave. They should already know that. They shouldn't be.
I know.
Seriously, it shouldn't have to be said.
Sure.
It's on the scouting report. They freaking Maybe know who does. Ryan Anderson is. Yeah.
Right. It should be that simple. But how many times this year have we seen regularly Kings leave shooters when they have the ball and, oh, hey, yeah. There's a three.
Guys you've heard of, like
right.
Carmelo Anthony.
J.J. Redick.
Ryan Anderson.
Those guys. That's what if I'm Dave Joerger, that's what I say. If he hits an open shot and you're on him, you're coming over, you're sitting down. See you later. See you later, skater. This
but then you're gonna have to do it with every single play.
Fine, get it, and then you know what?
Then you're gonna be playing with three guys on the court.
Fine,
do it. Take the technical foul.
Some tainty player at the end of the bench is gonna be playing 38 minutes against Ryan Anderson, and you're gonna live with that. That's fine. We'll take a break when we get back. Let's get back into this Wake Forest story. Jim Harbaugh is not going to Los Angeles. We have sound in both cases, and yeah, this radio story with Wake Forest is a little bit goofy. Scott Howard Cooper at 7 o'clock. Don't go away on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Richard Sherman a little bit salty coming off them getting blown out and talking about the Thursday night games. Richard Sherman has, as he often does in his own colorful way that he says things, but he does have a point. And coming up in four down territory.
It is a poop fest. I agree.
100% of a poop fest. And I love the phrase. I was telling you off the air, it reminded me when Ron Burgundy said, go blank yourself, San Diego. And who was that guy again?
Chris Parnell
goes, you and your poop mouth.
Your poop mouth.
Yeah, it's a good line, Richard. And I expect, well, we'll talk about this in four down territory at 7:17, whether or not he does have a point. Dave, Katie, and Nate. Katie in Houston, Nate and I back here in studio. Just some programming notes for you. Just a reminder, it'll be Katie and Nate next week. I am gone till the end of the year, and then Nate, you're gone the week after.
It's
and
true.
It's going to be I personally hope it's just Katie, because that would be, and we could just call in and mess with her that whole last week. I don't think that's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out, you guys. I have some time left, and I don't know whether I'm going to use it to also take that week off.
How do you have time left? You've been here since April. You've taken 7 weeks of vacation.
True.
How's that work?
Good point.
Oh, really, Dave? Really? You, of all people.
You need to get some representation.
Yeah, exactly. What are you talking about? Hey, here's some stats on me. Sick days taken this year, zero. Vacation taken this year, 1 week. I'm not bitching. I'm just saying.
What about the other ones?
That's why you have... personal days, like where you've gone off to
I'm just saying. I'm not bitching. I'm just saying.
You're about to take 2 weeks off.
Yeah, I save it up to the end.
Yeah.
This year, 2 weeks at the end of the year. That's right. We're also off the Monday after New Year's as well. Since they all fall, what is it, on a Sunday, Christmas and New Year's this year?
Yeah.
They all fall on a Sunday. So, hey, there you go.
That's a golf day.
It really is. Scott Howard Cooper at 7 o'clock. Couple of things here. We'll get to the Wake Forest story, but want to talk about the Oakland Raiders here real quick. A late night meeting for the Oakland City Council happened. City leaders followed the Alameda County supervisors, and they approved a non-binding term sheet, which will allow the city to move forward with talks on a $1.3 billion stadium plan. Council member Rebecca Kaplan said the deal is, quote, bigger than football. Bigger than football. The Raiders, as you know, threatening to leave for Las Vegas. Ronnie Lott and friends have drafted a plan. Ronnie Lott kind of taking the Kevin Johnson approach in this style of the movie, the savior coming in, the ex-athlete, in this case, NFL player like KJ was an NBA guy, coming in, tons of respect around the league, trying to keep the team in Oakland. The big problem here, it seems, well, there's two. Number one, the Raiders currently are not negotiating directly with the city of two other parties. But again, it's the same way it was with the Kings, the Maloofs. Remember, they were going to Anaheim. They were going to Seattle. They had a binding agreement.
Virginia Beach.
Absolutely. They were going all these places. They had binding agreements and all that. They wanted nothing to do with it. And you had an ex-athlete gathering a coalition. I mean, Oakland really is, whether they're doing it purposely or not, they really are kind of following the Sacramento Kings blueprint on how to keep the team. The big issue, it seems, popping up, or one of them, is there's still $100 million in unretired debt from the renovation when they brought back the Raiders from the renovation of Oakland, of that Coliseum. So there's still a lot of...
Why can't Mark pay for that? He's worth $500 million.
Because he wants to leave.
Yeah, well...
I guess he wants to leave.
Like, I don't get it. Like, why does that guy need a handout?
He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
He wants to leave. He's got $750 million of those handouts waiting for him in Las Vegas. The problem there is, and Mike Florio talked about this a bit yesterday, Sheldon Adelson, who didn't get rich by being a nice guy, he's driving a hard bargain. He wants a path. He doesn't just want a piece of the Raiders. He wants a piece, and he wants a path to control of the team. And that
which seems reasonable. I mean,
sure.
Why didn't the city of Oakland say the same thing? If you want us to shell out this money for you, Mark, and keep your team here, then we get a stake in it.
But Mark Davis will never do that. We both know
that. Well, but if he's kind of stuck in a spot where he's going to have to, what's his option? If both of his options are to give up some control of his team to get a shiny new building.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case in Oakland. I don't know. Now, to give up a part of his team is one thing. I'm not Mark Davis, shocker, but I do think he would give up a chunk of the team. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Will he give a path to control of the team and have it be out of the day? There's no way. That's how he was born and bred. The Raiders are the Davis family.
That's his family.
That's it. It's not going to happen. So L.A. is still possibly a fallback, though it looks like the Chargers are going to probably fill that role, and you can't have three teams in Los Angeles.
Or can you?
Or can you? Or why? So the Raiders go to San Diego. That'd be even more fun.
You
honestly hope that it works out in Oakland. That would actually be the best move for all. There's still a lot of hurdles between now and then. Wake Forest assistant coach, former Wake Forest. God dang it. Former Wake Forest. I've had that page up the whole time, and I bring it up, and it's a freaking Adidas commercial or whatever. The former Wake Forest coach, current radio broadcaster, was fired from his post, as we talked about in Morning Brew, as one of the team's radio broadcasters after a school-led investigation revealed he attempted to provide information regarding the team's game plan to opponents, including Louisville, who beat Wake Forest 44-12. I want more on this story, and I want it quickly. There's got to be more to this. This is just too weird, guys, and scammy.
Yeah. You know, it's the crazy thing is, too, is because of how it came. They saw, like, a scouting report lying around. And what I read said that, an equipment manager found it the day before they played Wake Forest. But I know that when you have you have scouting reports, they're very heavily guarded. Like, you take them to your kind of we took them to shoot around. You go around and collect them. You make sure, and you count to make sure all the ones you had are collected at the end. So I don't know. This is kind of weird to me.
Scott Howard Cooper coming up next. He is not weird at all. We'll talk basketball with him. Don't go away on The Drive. Hour one in the books. Sports 1140 KHDK.